Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Well, good morning to you. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Jack Lancaster for the second Monday in a row is here. That's kind of cool.
Special.
That's pretty cool, man. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for being
here. Thank you for having me.
Just so you know, I've had, I think, three different people come up to me in the last week or so that said, yeah, I love it when you have Jack on. It's always a good show.
Wow. Well, that's very nice.
So there you go, Jack.
I put the pressure on now, man.
Yeah, you better be good, man.
Better be good.
Kind of nice shirt. That shirt looks like the ultimate comfort shirt.
I got it in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many pesos did it cost you?
Well, it was 20 bucks.
Okay.
I don't know. Pesos?
I don't know. What's the translation to that?
That'd be about 400.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 400 pesos is about 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Which then stands to reason 200 pesos is about 10 bucks.
Yeah, that's a little bit less. Let me think. It used to be a 20 to 1 ratio. Now it's like a 17 to 1 ratio.
Oh, okay.
I just think 20 to 1.
All right.
Yeah.
Real quick headline, Jack, and if you want to comment on this, you can. One man is in custody. However, another man remains at large after this happened. So they caught 47-year-old Eric Resma, R-E-S-M-A, this was early yesterday morning, a Cedar City jewelry store of $70,000 worth of merchandise.
Wow.
They managed to spike the tires and get the car to crash. They arrested Resma. The other guy disappeared into the darkness because it was 4 a.m., and they still have not located him. You do the math on that. 4 a.m. in Pintura, which is just up the freeway.
Yeah.
He could be here somewhere. They say they consider he would be armed and dangerous and to do not approach him, but call the police if you see the man.
How do we know if we see him?
Well, okay, so he's the description's kind of funny. They're like, he could be Hispanic or white. He could be in his 20s or 30s. He had blue jeans, a jacket, a brown jacket, and Vans on. Man. So I'm like, man, that's...
A lot to go on
there. That's a lot of people, right?
That is a lot of people. So it's a guy.
It's a guy. It is a guy.
Yeah. But so he could probably just act normal and nobody would say boo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird deal. A suspect at large. You know, I didn't know about this, and I guess I'm the media outlet that are letting people know, but I didn't know anything about this until... just a little while ago.
Oh.
And so
4 a.m., and they lost him in Pintura off the freeway.
Right.
Probably heading south from Cedar City.
Right.
And the Pintura, we don't know exactly where. Is it right in Pintura? I mean, Pintura is such
just
a
just the exit right there. Because he was
community.
On the freeway. So
he was on the freeway.
And they ran off into the bushes. Don't know where he went.
Well, if he's still in the mountains, he's going to be... he's going to be, thirsty and hungry here real soon.
Yeah. $70,000 worth of jewelry ain't going to get you. That's for sure. So.
Unless he's got a cell phone and he called a buddy to come pick him up or something.
Yeah. Probably has a cell phone. You're probably right about that.
Yeah.
This story kind of is intriguing to me out of the news today in that it presents a dilemma, an ethical dilemma. So a guy went on his mission to Tonga and he molested some children. He touched them inappropriately.
Oh my gosh.
He has been arrested and he is facing charges, which is right. He should be. But as a member of a religious group, you know, it presents that whole thing. Well, boy, he makes the whole, I mean, he was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It makes the whole church look bad when he does something like that.
Well, I'm sure they get excommunicated.
Yeah, they'll distance themselves from him. But
yeah.
When I was a missionary, I was a leader in an area, and I've told the story on the air before, but a lady called me and she said, my friend's child said that this one missionary was touching her inappropriately.
Wow.
And she said, what should I do? And I said, bust him. String him up flagpole. Let's get him. She says, well, that's easy to say, but you basically have this six-year-old's word against an ecclesiastic, a missionary. Yeah. Who are they going to believe? And I was like, I don't care who they believe. I think we need to get this guy. He should not be around children anymore.
Yeah.
And at least until it's investigated.
So what's the, I mean, this is not, unfortunately, I don't think this is unheard of. It does happen.
No, yeah.
So what's the question about on the story? Is it, are we, are they, is the U.S. worried about a citizen? Is he a U.S. citizen, I assume?
Yeah, yeah, a Utah citizen.
He's going to be, you know, in Tonga? Is that where they are?
Well, I think he did the same thing here after his mission, so he's probably got facing charges.
Oh, this is after. So he's already done it and
he's,
come back.
He's 28
and nobody,
now. Yeah, he's 28
now. So this occurred, the allegations happened when he was there, and now it's here. And well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And we should have no tolerance
but,
for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole situation is just kind of, it's kind of like when the Catholic Church had the priests who were doing things they weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they try to keep it hush-hush. And I'm sure the church doesn't really want to talk about something like this happening. But as you said, it's not the first time this kind of thing has happened.
Yeah, the church takes really good precautions, especially like I'm a Sunday school teacher and I have to teach with my wife or another adult. And I teach 15-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
So
you can never be alone with the kids.
Nope.
So I had a situation where for a while I was teaching little kids, 5-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And there was this one little girl, and as a 5-year-old girl, you don't blame her. She wanted to hug and sit in my lap and hug me and hold my hand and stuff. And I was super uncomfortable because I'm not related to this girl in any way. She's just a girl in my neighborhood. And, it's sad that our society has to be this way, but it has to be this way.
Yeah, you can't. You're protecting yourself if you don't allow that.
Yeah,
you know.
And I felt bad. I'm rejecting this cute little girl who she just wants. She probably sits on her grandpa's lap all the time, or her dad, or whatever.
Yeah.
And she wants to sit on my lap because I look like a grandpa.
Uh-huh.
But or hug me or whatever. But I
you kind of do look like a grandpa though, Randy. I mean, come on. You do have the grandpa.
I am
vibe
a grandpa.
Going
on. I have 5 grandkids, and I'm proud of them. So yeah, I am a grandpa. Yesterday, Jack, I had a family reunion.
Okay.
It was my mom's family. Her name was, her last name was, before she got married, was Barr, B-A-H-R. And so I got to
Barr?
Meet. Barr, yeah. Uh-huh. And got to meet 100 or so relatives of hers. She was one of 9 kids, and 8 of the 9 now have passed away, including my mom.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of a weird thing because most of the in-laws that married these Barr siblings are still alive.
Hmm.
And so the reunion was one actual Barr and then a whole bunch of people that married Barrs.
Married into Barrs.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of a weird, it was a good experience though. And I was happy to report I dusted off my cornhole tossing
skills.
How'd you
do?
I did great. I was playing really well. Yes.
Good. Good.
Very happy.
Good.
I put through a lot of them little bean bags in the hole. But I got to tell you, so we were playing. It was me and my son against our wives.
Uh-huh.
And whoever had set this particular cornhole, it was way too far apart. Because those women could barely throw it that far.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm an old softball pitcher, so for me it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
But I could see then, because it was about the distance of a softball pitcher to the home plate. Yeah, and I kind of felt a little bad, but that didn't keep. The only thing is, in cornhole is like a lot of sports. If you don't hit 21 exactly, you have to go back. And so there were a couple of times I was 20 and I just wanted to get a point, but instead I threw it in the hole accidentally.
You're just too good.
I had to go back. We had to go back 4 times. So anyway, it was fun though. It was fun.
Well, good.
So
that's the point of doing those things, is to have fun, reconnect. A lot of family reunions going on right now.
My niece has a, what do you call it? Service dog. She has seizures, and so this dog will, if she has a seizure, it'll help her to not fall to the ground. It'll alert people that she's in trouble and stuff. But this dog is a Great Dane.
Oh my gosh!
This dog is humongous. Like if it were to stand up on its hind legs, it would be my height.
Right.
Or maybe taller, but it has obviously 4 legs, but it's still up to my waist or whatever on its 4 legs. And this dog is gigantic. And I, you know, it was kind of gentle, sweet, gentle dog. But I was just thinking, man, if that dog decided, there was another person there with a little, I think it was a Pomeranian, a little teeny dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that Great Dane could swallow that Pomeranian without chewing. You know, I mean, it was like a pill.
A little free pill.
A troubling trend, Jack, in the United States is the birth rate in the United States. Now, some smart guys, and I'm not one of them, but some smart guys did the math, and they said in order for the U.S. to maintain without immigration, or with immigration just at the low point, which is what it's at right now, it's really low, Women need to have at least two children. Basically, 2.2 is the number, but about two kids. The national birth rate right now, women are having 1.6 children. Obviously, it's an average. You can't have 0.6 a child, but you know what I mean. That is way below
did you look up the Utah birth rate?
I did not know. Oh. This was just a national thing. Okay. So it might be in this article. There's an article on Deseret News about it. There might be more on Utah. But the bottom line is, and actually I did on
birth rate in Utah.
Oh, he's Googling. I actually did look at it. I think Utah was above the national average, but
fertility rate of 59.6 per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. It doesn't give us the ratio that we're looking for.
So let's talk about why, Jack. Why do you think women are
urbanization and
choosing not to have
urbanization?
Kids?
So there's a guy out there that does videos that I watch, Peter Zeihan, Zeihan. He talks a lot about national demographics. He says that the more urbanized a country becomes, the fewer children you have. When you're on a farm, basically children are free labor.
Yeah,
but when you move into an apartment in the city or into a more expensive, thing in a city environment,
labor, they become a burden.
They become an expensive pet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. Plus birth control, obviously, that's being more readily available and things like that. Culture is telling these young, especially if they're going to college and they're getting this socialist indoctrination,
That's true.
So,
isn't there though for women? And I'm not a woman.
Isn't that sad to say that? And everybody agrees.
Yeah.
If they're going to college and they're getting the socialist indoctrination, which is like a thing that's happening.
It's terrible.
But it is.
But it is.
Yeah.
I was thinking about my kids. So I have one kid. He has four. So I have five grandkids. He has four of them. But they had this desperate. They wanted kids so badly, and they couldn't have kids, and they actually had to go through the in vitro, process a couple of times, and so they could have kids. But isn't there like a yearning? I don't know about men, but for sure for women to procreate, to have a child, to carry on who you are.
Yeah, I think there's probably something. I mean, I can't speak as a man, so I can't speak as a woman.
Yeah.
Although I do know what a woman is.
Yes. Okay. It's my favorite gender by far.
My favorite too.
Yeah.
So. I think it's just a byproduct of our overall prosperity as a country. I think it's the byproduct of, and that's in some circles. And also, fewer and fewer people are getting married. That may be a correlation. That would go on with that, or if they're putting off marriage till later in life. So, if women are not having their children until they're in their mid 30s, then there's not enough time to have two or three total.
Do you feel like it is also a part of the modern idea that a woman is the same as a man, and so therefore she wants to work and have a career, and children just aren't important?
There's some of that, I'm sure. I don't know if that's big enough to account for it. Like I said, I was just looking at the stats that North Dakota has the highest fertility rate in the country.
North Dakota?
Yeah, even more than Utah does. But and the thing about Utah, and I keep having to tell myself that, when studies are looking at Utah, they're not talking about what I think of Utah, which is in this neighborhood, or they're talking basically about the cities in the Wasatch Front. That's basically the statistical Utah.
That's where all the people are.
Yeah, that's where all the people are. So, there you got an urbanization thing, but the LDS Church obviously is going to have a major influence on that as well. And I don't even know, is the population or the percentage of LDS in Utah, it's going down, isn't
it's going
it, as a
down.
Percentage?
Yeah, it's been going down every year for the last 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
a little bit. But
so I remember it used to be in the 70s, I think, when I was in high school.
Yeah,
and now
I think
it's probably
down
in the
50s.
Yeah.
I know it was down. When I first moved to St. George, and this was 30 years ago, it was 65%.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you get into the, is the U.S. unique? Well, as it turns out, Europe, I'm talking Switzerland, France, Italy, Germany, et cetera, they've been at about 1.6 for the last decade or two.
Yeah.
So we're just getting to where they are.
So the countries that have higher. Well, Canada is really low, lower than us.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. U.S. is high as far as the North America. Mexico's the highest, but Mexico's starting to drop off a lot.
Hmm.
My wife has her family, and in the generation that she's in, they aren't having any children. She may have like one or two second cousins, I think, or one, I know for sure. But other than that, they aren't getting married.
Hmm.
There's 40-year-olds in my wife's generation, because, see, her mother had like five sisters and a brother. So again, there's seven in that family.
Right.
But that next generation, I think there's one kid. I mean, of those, all those kids, they had one so far. Wow. One or two.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I could be wrong. She'll probably text me here in a minute.
Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, if you look at my mom, you know, there were nine kids in her family. Well, we're weird. We had five, but still that's not nine.
Yeah.
And then you look at my other siblings, four, zero, and three. So
yeah, so like exactly. Like in my family, I got three sisters and I had five, and six of children. And then I had two, and then I had an adopted one. But then, again, that next generation, there's probably, you know, not that many, except for my one sister. I got a sister that all of her kids had five kids.
Nice. Well, I guess the natural question.
And they live up in central Utah, like in Kanawha. And so, they're farmers.
Free labor.
Yeah.
Free labor. I guess the question is this a problem? If it is a problem, how do we fix it? So let's start with, is this a problem? The fact that women in America are having fewer children, is that a problem or does it matter?
Well, it's eventually going to change because immigration's not going to go away. And like I said, the countries with the highest birth rates are like India still. Mm-hmm. China's fallen off a cliff.
Oh, big time.
So they're going to collapse. And
well, they had that rule forever.
Right, the one-child policy. Kid. But yeah. they also are not telling the truth about their population. Mexico is still, compared to us, is a much larger birth rate. So we're going to be outpopulated in a couple, three or four generations if we don't turn it around a little bit. As far as when I say we, I mean the American culture is going to becoming more and more influenced by other cultures that are coming in and reproducing faster than the.
Well, and it's so weird because all our lives, yours and mine, the population of the U.S. has grown and grown and grown and grown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this doesn't change, our population will actually stagnate or maybe even go
right.
down.
And it's predicted that the world population will peak in the next 5 to 8 years and then we'll start leveling off and going down. Yeah. And that's as the world, it gets more and more prosperous. Again, people can become more urbanized and they have fewer children.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is there, so did we decide it is a problem or it is not a problem?
It is a problem if you're Italy, if you're Germany, if you're France, if you're Canada, because you can't replace, you're not making people to make everything run, you know.
Right.
Now, we don't have, U.S., if what we lack in birth rate replication, we make up with it in immigration. So with proper immigration, we can have the people we need, the engineers, the smart people, or whatever we need to bring in under a controlled immigration environment. And then you can maintain that
right.
that world that we have here. But a lot of other countries, mostly European, their birth rate's just gone through the floor, and with the exception of China, which is, you know, they're communists, so they don't count.
But, well, and
South Korea is also really small in Japan. Very, very small.
The scary thing about immigration is I'm all for legal immigration, but you, hopefully a lot of these people that immigrate here don't try to change America to suit where they immigrated from.
The idea was to allow enough immigration so that it would be, you know, the idea of a melting pot.
Yeah.
And so that the people have time to assimilate into the culture so they don't change the culture. And the thing that we're worried about the most is you get folks that move here from communist countries or from dictators and they don't understand our liberal democracy, if you want to call it that, or a liberal representative republic.
Right.
And they don't understand the rule of law as much as we do and things like that. So you have to have time for these people to understand and accept it and buy into basically the system, you know, that we have. I talked to my wife's cousin, who's a lawyer in Mexico City, and I asked him, I says, what is the biggest difference that you can think of, if you had to say one or two things, mm-hmm. between the Mexico and U.S.? And he says the biggest difference here is in the U.S. people follow the rules, and in Mexico they don't.
Wow.
He's an attorney.
That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that's a general statement, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, the lowest birth rate in the world by country, mm-hmm. North Korea is number one.
Yeah, makes sense.
And China, I think, is in the top five, mm-hmm. or maybe bottom five, or however you want, yeah. to, want to term that for lowest birth rate. All right, so I don't know. Man, I almost wish I could call my wife. And by the way, my wife told me once, I'll never do radio. She's like, that's your thing, not mine. I said, what about when I retire? Mike McGarry had his wife on, and it was really great. She's like, nope, not doing it. So, but I wish I had her opinion on this. Like the that.
Put her on speed dial. Let's get her on the phone.
She won't do it. She would hang, if she found out I was on, yeah, she would hang up. So, we would have a lot better luck with your wife than mine getting on the air. So, but I just wish I knew the, and maybe if someone wants to text me, a female, 467-5842, talk to me about the urge to carry on, to have children. Does it go away as you get older, especially like as you hit menopause and are no longer able to bear children? Does that urge go away at that point? Or I just don't know.
Just a couple of dumb old guys.
Yeah, we're dumb guys. Yeah. That's true.
Trying to get an opinion from somebody else.
I can tell you this. It certainly wasn't as strong for me as I'm sure it is for a woman. But when I got married, even before I got married, we wanted to have I wanted to get married and have children. That was important to me. Right?
Yeah.
And so even though maybe I didn't have maybe that big, strong whatever that a woman has, I wanted to be a dad. I wanted to have kids. I always did. Uh-huh. So, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, me too. So. Me too. It's it is a wonderful thing. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
It's for me, anyway. Yeah.
Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the interview. No, I'm not talking about a particular interview. I'm talking about
the movie?
No. Talking about a boss interviewing an employee, some of the mistakes that maybe we make over and over again, some of the mistakes.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Today is July 28th. Happy birthday to my older brother, Eldon. He is, well, maybe I shouldn't give his age on the, he's 65. Anyway, happy birthday, Eldon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. He's older than me. By the way, I'm not even in my 60s yet, folks. So,
no comment.
Yeah. Jack.
So I stand corrected here.
Okay.
My lovely and gracious wife has corrected me on the generations of her family.
Well, first of all, we need correcting often by our spouse.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 aunts and uncles. So her mother and then her aunts and uncle on her mother's side. They had 2, 3, let's see. I counted this a minute ago. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 16 kids. And then the next generation is 12, 18, 19.
Okay.
So first generation.
Just a little more than one kid each.
Yeah. Hmm. So they're doing their part over there.
All right. Now, I wanted to talk to you now. Put your business owner hat on.
Okay.
You're the boss. All right. Mm-hmm.
So my wife says I can say that, so I can say that.
We talked a little bit on Friday about the interview, interviews and what to say.
Which was a really funny movie, by the way, if you ever want to watch it.
Which one is that?
It's called The Interview.
Yeah, I know. Who's in it? Right.
I don't know. These two reporters go to North Korea to interview Kim Jong-un, and then they get recruited by the CIA to assassinate him.
Oh, okay. Well, no spoiler alert here because I haven't seen it.
And it's funny because North Korea hijacked Sony Pictures and hacked into their thing to kill the movie when it came out.
Really?
Yeah, they were successful for about a week.
Okay. All right, now, aside from the movie, let's talk about the job interview. So I was telling you before the break, I have a relative of mine. That dude could get hired by anybody. He talks a good game. He interviews great. We don't even know what it is he has because it's mystified us for decades now, because that dude goes, he gets offered any job he interviews for. He gets it. And then he gets fired like a month or two or a year or two later, and he's been fired so many times I can't count. But to get fired, you have to get hired first, and he masters it. So when you're conducting interviews to hire an employee, are there things that immediately when they act a certain way or say a certain thing that you're like, yeah, this person is on the ball?
So I actually was hiring here at the radio station when I was sales manager.
Okay.
I actually had, that was one of my hats, and I would work with the general manager. And that's different than hiring for my current company.
Right.
You know, it's a different, completely different world. Back then when I was hiring there, we used to make them all take these personality tests.
Really?
And if they scored well on the personality test, then they were immediately considered for hire. But we would try to go through 3 or 4 or 5 people, if possible, for a sales. And this is for advertising sales.
Okay.
So there is a certain type of person you want for that. For the current company I have now, we basically, if you can fog a mirror, we'll give you a week.
Prove it now. Okay. Yeah.
The thing about that is, we'll get one of these things I noticed in both of these situations. We would get these young people, and they would hand me a resume, and they would have, you know, 4-5 jobs a year with the dates.
In one year's time.
And so I'm not a very confrontational type, but I got to where I would ask the question. I would say, okay, so I'm seeing here that in the last 2 years you've had 10 jobs, and your average stay at each job is 2.5-3 months. What are you going to say to me that's going to convince me that if I hire you, you're going to last more than that? Because I'm not going to hire you if you're only going to last 2 months.
Right. It costs and me money to
then, now, get then you look at them like, oh, I've never had that question before.
Yeah. Is there an answer to that question? I can't imagine there's a good one.
No, there's not a good one. The only good one is, you're right, because I only need this job for 3 months. That would be the good answer, the honest answer.
The honest answer, and then you wouldn't hire him.
Well, again, that would actually give them points, because I'm saying, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with. At least I'm dealing with an honest person.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And so basically, you know, in the current company I own, I want people who are situationally aware. So, you know, basically, we give everybody a shot. We literally give everybody a shot for like a week and a half.
Really?
We just see how they do. And then we say it's a probationary period. You want to come in, you want to work under these terms, we'll pay you, of course. And then when that probation term's over, we'll either extend the job to you or we'll say thank you, have a nice day. So
put your money where your mouth is. Well, the guy that wrote this article is talking about how he had a guy interviewed great.
Uh-huh.
Checked all the boxes they were going to offer in the job, and the guy asked for more money than they were offering. And he was like, basically, he was like, why would we give you more money? You haven't proven anything. And he says, yeah, but I'm good. I know I'm good. And they're like, we don't know you're good.
Yeah.
So, and it came down to basically, he was like, I am not giving you more money. If you want the job and you're good at the job when you take it, we will give you more money in the long run, but right now we're not giving you more money.
Yeah, you have to. I don't think it's reasonable for an applicant to say that. They can, obviously.
Right.
And maybe it's worked in the past that you can get that. I would say, you know, I will prove myself that within 6 months I'm worthy of a raise. And so if I, you know, let's do a reevaluation of my performance in 6 months and let's do it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, in my career, I was always in sales and I was always in commission sales. So I never got a baseline.
Right.
Once in a while, I got a per diem where I would get a gasoline allowance.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always say, you only pay me when I bring money into you, then you write me a commission check.
That's perfect for the employer.
So if I want to work really hard and make a lot of money, that's on me. If I don't work so hard, that's on me.
Yeah.
But you don't pay me unless I bring you a check. And I did that for, I don't know, for 40 years.
See, that is brave, because you're basically gambling on yourself.
I'm gambling on myself, yeah.
And if you're not any good, you're going to lose.
Because basically, I wanted to make enough money when I was single to put gas in the tank and go fishing.
Yeah. Everyone's motivated differently. That's a pretty good motivation for some people.
Yeah, yeah. It changed when I got married, but, you know, and the kids started coming. But the thing is you kind of... If you can believe in yourself, and you can, because I'll have people that'll come in, and let's say they're return missionaries, and they say, look, I'm looking for a job for the next 6 months until the next semester of school, and I would love to work part time or full time now, and then when school starts, I'd love to work part time. Okay, great, I'll take that kid.
Yeah.
You know, or a young adult, a kid right out of high school or something like that. I'll take that kid. That's, you know, I just basically, we had a kid that one of our best employees, and He gave us, he just gave us 2 weeks notice. He's going to Logan to go to engineering school. And I said, okay, I know a guy that owns a couple of restaurants in Logan. And I called him up and I said, you need to hire this kid. He's looking for part-time work.
Good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
So of course he thanked me. Because if you work hard, if any young people out there listening, if you work hard and you're consistent and you're honest and you do, and when you're on the clock and even when you're off the clock, if you do everything you can to make that job yours and own it, and take responsibility for it, you will always have a place to work. Well, people will always want you.
And I liked what you said a minute ago about situational awareness.
Right,
because
right.
There are a lot of people who are so oblivious, they'll go into a room and not see the problem in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that's what you're talking about. People
right.
can go in the room and recognize, okay, that table needs to be bussed, or that floor, there's dirt all over that floor, or this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah,
we need that.
It has to happen, and situational awareness is, you know, it will serve you well in every aspect of your life. You won't get hit by a car when you cross the street. It's one of the things.
Good point.
It's a funny thing. I don't like wearing headphones
mm-hmm.
when I'm riding my bike. I do a 1 hour bike ride.
I am.
I put on the headphones where they go around. It's like the you guy got at Costco. It goes around my ear,
right.
And it's like a bone thing.
Yeah. You know? I've heard of those. Yeah,
and that way I can hear. That
because
way I can hear.
I'm with you. I want to be able to hear if there's a truck
right.
coming up behind me or something
so
like that.
So when I see guys walking down the street with like these radio headphones like we're wearing.
Yeah, big fat ones.
No, I would not. Because I want to hear if that car is careening out of control behind me and it gives me a clue to turn my head and look.
And by the way, it's against the law to wear these if you're operating a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
That includes one of those bikes that go 50 miles an hour.
Well, you can't hear the sirens behind you when they come up.
Any besides the multiple job listings on the resume in 1 year, any other red flags when you're doing an interview that immediately go, uh-oh, we got a problem?
Well, if you smell alcohol in the breath.
To an interview.
Sure. It's happened.
Somebody's going to show up drunk.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wow.
If they're late for the interview.
Like, what if I'm 3 minutes late?
No.
Versus a half an hour.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You got a guy that's 3 minutes late, and the next guy comes in, and he's 5 minutes early. You know, what are you comparing to, you know?
That's true.
Also, how they look at you, if they give you eye contact, if they can be positive.
No, I have eye contact with you.
I know, now we got to talk about that.
I can't look at the computer anymore. Yeah.
Look at the computer, Andy, you're making me feel weird. but then overall appearance, job history.
And we say overall appearance, does that include things that they do on purpose, like nose piercings or tattoos or weird hair or... Does that matter? A little?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
it
depends on what you're hiring for.
Right.
If I had my druthers, I would not hire with piercings and tattoos.
Especially a lot of them. I saw a guy had 17 piercings on his head.
Yeah, to me that just says that's a mentally ill.
Yeah.
Just says that they got something else going on.
Yeah.
You know, and that is... The problem that it has been in the past 4 or 5 years, especially since COVID, is we haven't had a lot of choices. And it's been more and more difficult because when you look at a service industry, and it depends on servicing the customer in a particular way, and the customer's used to getting a level of service from that business. If you cannot be discriminating with your hiring and you have to take whatever comes to you because you really, really need to fill these jobs, then the level of your service to your customer will go down.
Mm.
And so it's good for the overall experience of the customer to have a little bit higher unemployment because then the pressure is on the prospective employee to have to do the things to keep the job, to get the job in the first place.
That makes
sense. Jobs are a little more rare. They're a little more hard to get. Employers have more options. And so they need to, so they can be a little more discriminating because you're not obliged to hire anyone.
Right.
It's just at the interview, you know, you can certainly, because this is your company, this is your whatever.
I've seen that in the radio business, too, because there are very specialized skills. And when times are tough as far as the availability pool, you kind of got to take whatever you can get.
Yes.
And when times aren't that way, when you know, when you advertise for a job and you get 20 resumes, you're like, okay, now I can find the one that actually fits what we need.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And the world that's interesting about radio is the guy that does what you do, Andy,
mm-hmm.
is one type of skill set and personality type.
Right.
The salesman guy is a completely other guy. The general manager is a completely other personality. The engineer, he's really different.
Yeah.
Those guys are nuts. Is Jeff here? Is he still here?
Yeah, but he's not listening.
Those guys, I mean.
You ever asked an engineer how to turn on a microphone?
Yeah, they give you the full thing.
You get a 37-minute explanation of how the microphone works. Yeah. All I wanted to know is which button it is.
Yeah.
All right,
but you couldn't make this thing work without everybody playing their part,
right,
which is actually kind of a beautiful thing when you think about it.
Quick commercial break. Back with Jack and more on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 9:51 on KDXU. By the way, Jack, those same people that told me they love when you're on the show, they say he's a terrible whistler, though. All right, Jack, how do you relax? I got to be somewhere in 2 hours. I just need to relax a little before I go there. What are you going to do for 2 hours? What's your choice?
Oh, I know.
You put your feet up on the easy chair and watch the game?
Yeah. I usually watch YouTube, which is, I discovered Matt's Towing.
Oh, yeah. Local guy, out in Hurricane. Yeah.
Local guy. I watched him for 2 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is so interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy. My brother has premiums, maybe you do too, to YouTube.
Oh, YouTube commercials are starting to really kill me.
He doesn't have to watch any commercials.
It's really starting to bother me.
But all right, so you might put your feet up and watch a little YouTube.
Or do something around the house.
Okay.
You know.
If you had all day, you might go fishing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
And that's relaxing.
Yeah.
For you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of people, I was reading an article about it. A lot of people relax by tinkering. They like to do things around the house, whether it's, you know, maybe fix a squeaky screen door, or maybe, you know, install a ceiling fan. Just a little project.
Uh-huh. I actually fixed our bedroom door that goes to the back patio.
Okay.
It was sticking since we moved to this house for 4 years. You just had to push it, and it made a horrible sound. And then I realized that the thing's coming off the hinge, and I saw how loose it was. And, man, I'll tell you what, I got my electric drill screwdriver, and I fixed that.
I'm proud of you.
I felt so good the rest of the day.
That's the one thing. So I don't like to tinker. It stresses me out. It doesn't relax me.
Yeah.
Because you inevitably have the wrong size screw, or the piece of wood is just exactly 1 inch too long, or something stupid
stresses
me out. But I will admit this, when I do accomplish the job, whatever that job might be, I feel good. I'm like,
I've been a man today.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor,
more power.
Yeah. What this thing needs is more power, for sure. But that doesn't relax me. So, I got to thinking, we all relax in different ways. Yard work does not relax me. It needs to be done, and we do it, right?
Yeah.
But I find myself, stressing about before I do it all the way up until, and then I finally do it. When I do it, I feel good for a few minutes that it's done.
Yeah.
But I never really did relax during the process, and I know there are people. Are you one of those that yard work relaxes?
Yeah, I have a back patio, and we have a couple of dogs, and they like to relieve themselves, and so it stinks back there. So I get the garden hose out, I hose it off, I blow all the leaves off, I have a swimming pool, and I clean the filters, and I brush the green stuff down. I check the chlorine.
And that's relaxing for you.
Yeah, because, doing something, I kind of have to do something, that feels like I'm accomplishing, making the world a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'll jump in the pool and take a few laps. That's always nice.
A lot of people, this is interesting to me. Are you a list person? I used to be a real list person. I would write down, especially at work, I would write down what needed to be done.
Yeah.
And then when I finished something, I'd put a little X by it, and there was like this.
Yeah.
It was like the likes on Facebook. There was this endorphin rush. I was
sometimes,
like, dopamine, whatever it is.
I can be a list person. Usually I'm not. But, that is a good thing, because you got these things, and that forces you to tackle, because you're putting it off. And then you don't get it done. But when you do get it done, it's amazing. So I recommend lists, by the way.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. One of the things that's funny, hot tubs used to relax me, right?
Uh-huh.
Go sit in the hot tub and relax.
Yeah.
But now that I own one,
yeah,
I'm kind of okay. Is the pH balance right? Is it too hot or too cold?
Yeah.
You know, all these things. Why isn't that light working? You know, there's all.
Yeah,
I'm no longer relaxed.
No, not as much. Away. But if you spend a half hour servicing your hot tub,
that's true,
and then you go get in it,
that's true,
you'll be fine.
And this
or time, a half hour or 10 minutes, whatever.
This time of year in St. George, you don't need a hot tub to relax in warm
cool
water.
Tub.
You just need a regular pool.
Yeah.
And you know what? If our pool water is at 90 or so,
it's nice.
Actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It actually feels pretty good. Once it starts getting up there in the high 90s, it feels like a hot tub, and it's not that relaxing anymore. But, so different ways to relax for different people. That's just the, kind of the gist of the article I was reading. This is by... Let's see, where is the author's name? Oh, here we go. It is Christian Lightheart from intellectualtakeout.org. For culture's sake, relax. And the meaning behind the article and what I would say, too, is just saying relax, that doesn't work. But and relax by tinkering, that doesn't work for some people. Sometimes it's really, you got to find out what makes you
relax. A lot of people play golf.
Yeah.
My nephew loves golf.
And
that's
golf,
fun, too.
Golf,
that works.
Golf, it works for me. It stresses me out, man, because I'm so competitive. I want to do better and better and better. And when I don't, I get mad.
Well, actually, the last couple of times I took him out, I used to go up and I would address the ball. And I'd take...
Hello, ball.
How are you today?
Yeah.
I would take a couple of practice swings to make sure I'm in the right, you know, thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'd whack the ball and they'd be upset.
Why did it go there?
Yeah. So now, the last two times I played, I just go up there, I look at the ball, I settle in, and then I just hit it.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't care.
Is it?
I finally turn the corner.
Are you hitting better, or does it not matter?
No, it's just the same as before, but I'm not trying.
Yeah, okay. So the other day we played pickleball, and pickleball relaxes me.
Okay.
Except for... At one point, I hit what I thought was the perfect shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Big, big high arcing thing over the opponent's head, landed what looked like to me from the other side of the court that it landed perfectly on the line.
Yeah, did you do McEnroe?
Well, my opponent said, out! And I was like, what? And at the time, my wife was on that other person's team, and she said nothing.
Uh-oh.
And I knew her saying nothing meant either, number one, she agreed with them, or number two, she didn't want to argue with her opponent.
Yeah.
But either way, it made me very unhappy.
So, okay,
we got 2 minutes.
Is the line in or out?
Line is in, except for on the serve, the front line is out.
So line is out on the serve, but in volley... When you're volleying, the line is in.
It's in, and it looked like it was clearly right on the line to me. But they were closer, and the rule in pickleball is whoever's closest to the ball is the one that
calls
the call.
Okay, well,
so I had to accept.
Good thing there's rules there.
The problem with me is I let that get to me for the rest of the match. I was so mad about that call, and I played like crap after that.
Maybe it was an overall strategy. Maybe he knows you.
And that's what I told my wife. I said, this person calls every key game when there's a key moment, they call it out when it's clearly in just to get to me.
You know, do you have a GoPro with a stick or a tripod? Put it on the line.
Ooh.
Right?
Proof, huh?
Yeah. Play it back.
And
say,
man.
This thing's going to be right there.
Some people would say, if you do that, you have a problem, sir.
And you're missing the point.
Maybe I do have a problem, yeah.
Andy, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
What's the point of playing pickleball?
To relax and
there
get
you
exercise.
Go, buddy.
And that's what my wife keeps telling me. It's to relax and get exercise. And 93-94% of the time, that's what it is to me.
Yeah.
But there is that 7%.
That's the way we were brought up.
Yeah.
You know, we were competitive. You played competitive sports, and I did too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You got to put that away. We're not kids anymore. We're not, you know, we don't have those, you know. It's just a different world, maybe.
There was a time where Jack and I played this A-League team. We were in the C-League, and they were...
Basketball. City League.
They were dunking and running up and down the court,
stupid.
And they beat us by 80 points.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Not even fun.
We didn't care. It was fine.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't as much fun as a competitive game.
No. Yeah. I just felt good. We got to 40. I think it was 120 something to 40. But we got to 40.
40. There
we
you go.
40.
Well, you got a 40 against that team.
Yeah.
Against the, you know, the local Harlem Globetrotters.
We're good. Jack, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
See you later. Time
See
for
you.